Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Former President Trump faces one new count of willful retention of national defense information and two new obstruction counts in the special counsel's Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. A third defendant, Trump's property manager, has been added to the case. CBS's Robert Costa explains why additional charges now.
Special counsel investigation that's picking up new information, almost like how we reporters will pick up different things from different sources. They're picking up different things from different witnesses, and they're hearing about instances where Trump has alleged to have shown these documents, the Iran document in Bedminster, New Jersey, allegedly shown to people out of any kind of proper context, without any kind of classification approval given to people in the room. And so when a federal investigator learns of a possible crime, even if other indictments have already been made, they will add those indictments to the pile.
Last week, Trump received a letter indicating he's a target of the special counsel's January 6th investigation. Federal officials are putting the Memphis, Tennessee Police Department under the microscope. Kristen Clark with the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division.
We received multiple reports of officers escalating encounters with community members, resulting in excessive force.
She mentioned Tyree Nichols' death after a traffic stop, but said the investigation is not based on a single event or police unit. Randy Meisner, a founding member of the Eagles, is heard on favorites including Take It Easy. The band says Randy Meisner has died in Los Angeles of complications from chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. He was 77. Funeral arrangements are pending. A new government health report shows thousands of people in the U.S. since 2010 have become allergic to red meat after being bitten by the Lone Star tick. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
According to the CDC, as many as 500,000 Americans may have a meat allergy known as alpha-gal syndrome. And most healthcare providers don't even know what that is.
Quite a surprise for a boy in suburban Atlanta, CBS's Jim Krasula explains.
After responding to a call from neighbors wanting a young boy to be, quote, removed from the area, a Hapeville, Georgia police officer learned the boy was going door to door asking to do yard work. He wanted to save up for a PlayStation. The officer was impressed by the boy and got some friends to raise money to buy the youngster a PlayStation. The boy covered his face with his hands in disbelief and then gave the officer a big bear hug.
PlayStation 5 console sales have surpassed 40 million. Sony credits the easing of supply chain problems. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried New Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with six strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. For Monroe, Juneau, and Adams counties, call Josh at 608-322-2190. For Jackson County, call Rhett at 715-771-3535. For Clark, Marathon, Wood, and Portage counties, call Ashley at 920-501-8717. And for Wisher and Wapaka counties, call Kate at 920-401-5470.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 11 p.m. tonight. Overcast overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 67. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Highs level off around 86. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night, 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Greg Bach on the board today. And it is Thursday at 11, which means it's time for public service announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Doctor, are you still in Arizona? Are you, look like you're not in the heat this week.
Nope, I'm back up north.
All right. All right. Well, Greg, do you have any questions about women's health?
So many questions. No, actually, I do have one. I have one quick thing. No, when I have a question, I look it up. I don't fear these things like other men. I'm a real man. No, wanted to say something to you, doctor, is I was driving last Thursday with my mom, and we were listening to the show, and you all were talking, and I said, oh, Dr. Lyerly's on. That must mean it's time for the public service announcement. And my mom goes, I like that.
Yay, Mom! Yep. That's awesome. And Greg, I'm so glad you're here because we're going to talk a little bit about men's health, too.
It's about time.
Every once in a while. All right. So if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, feel free to text them in, 844-967-2789. You can also call them in. And if you're listening to this as a podcast, you can always email us, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. My first question, though, is... the new train of thought for some OBGYNs and gynos when it comes to pregnancy, and instead of expecting that the baby's going to come when the baby wants to come, inducing at 39 weeks. This mm-hmm. is a new thing?
Well, I mean, within the last, I don't know, decade-ish. Okay. Yeah, so a big study came out, probably, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, where there was evidence that inducing people at 39 weeks actually reduced the risk of bad things happening after that. So we think babies are done at 39 weeks, like they are well enough formed, their outcomes are really good.
They're cooked.
So if we didn't... They are. I was gonna say cooked, but
they're fully.
So,
they're
like,
fully. They're ripe.
Ding.
This one's got a good sizzle.
And you know, after that, when you think about like bad things can happen, and you know, I always am careful talking with you about pregnancy because I don't want to talk about horrible things, but bad things do happen sometimes in pregnancy. Like, for example, stillbirth. I've seen people have stillbirth at 39 and 4. And if we had induced that pregnancy at 39 weeks, would that baby be alive? You got to believe that I think about that stillbirth on a regular basis, and those parents who suffered it think about it every single day. So things like that happen, but so do things like blood pressure problems, gestational hypertension, and preeclampsia, and, you know, other abruption, like other problems can happen. So if the pregnancy is done at 39 weeks, then there are advantages to inducing and trying to achieve a vaginal delivery. It also reduces the risk for a C-section. Babies continue to grow if they stay inside. And if it gets to be 41 weeks, they might get so big that they don't fit through the birth canal. So there are, your face, your face is like something I don't want to think about.
No, so, I was a 9-pound baby, so I'm preparing that I could have a giant child.
I was a big one too.
So, and it, sometimes it doesn't matter. It's like the way they come out, or like a shoulder can get stuck under your pubic bone. That can be an issue. Like, there are lots of crazy things that can happen, which is why we can't legislate childbirth. Mm-hmm. We can't legislate pregnancy. We have to be able to make those decisions on an individual basis. But yeah, I mean, it can definitely reduce the risk, but you have to take everybody's circumstances on an individual basis. So what we typically do is we check your cervix right around 39 weeks to see how dilated or effaced are you. And if your cervix seems ripe is the word that we use.
Okay.
If you're ripe enough, then we can proceed. And the chances of success are really pretty significant if you're pretty ripe. If you're not very ripe and we don't have a medical indication, then often we'll wait and, you know, just keep checking and recommend walking and intercourse. Intercourse is great for inducing labor.
Good to know.
Don't look at me when you say that. My God.
Samson's going to be very excited about that piece of information.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
There are prostaglandins in semen, and prostaglandins help to soften the cervix and to encourage labor. So
is it an old wives' tale of like the walking on the curb? So you're like creating... I feel like I've seen very pregnant women do that, where it's like one foot on the curb, one foot on the street. And so you're kind of creating like this uneven like waddle. Is that an old wives' tale?
That sounds like a terrible rap song.
I don't know about inducing labor, but the thing I like about that is it helps to move your pelvis around, and that helps to get the baby more situated and more like, you know, like tucked in and putting more pressure, more of that head pressure down on the cervix internally. So that can certainly help move things along. And we recommend that in labor, if possible, moving around, sitting on a ball, if you don't have an epidural, getting in the tub, being on hands and knees, whatever you can do. Midwives do this really, really well. Doctors don't do it nearly as well, but just, you know, moving our patients around so that they're moving their pelvis and the baby can get really tucked in there.
So I have to admit that, and this is anecdotal and I am not a doctor, but of my friends who've had babies, the what feels like when I hear their birthing story, the disproportionate amount of women who've been induced, then had like 30-hour labors only to eventually have to get a C-section anyways, which sounds like a living nightmare. It's like all of the worst things, like a super long labor and a C-section on top of it. And so is that a risk with induction? It's like this kid's just not ready to come out, and we induced anyways, and now this is a scenario. Or is that just random that I have had that many? I would say it's six of my friends. That was their birth story.
You have to start with why. Why were they being induced? Was it elective because they were 39 weeks and they were just ready to have their baby? Or was there a medical reason? Often it's really common to have blood pressure problems or advanced maternal age. If you are over 35, maybe you would consider having your baby sooner than later. Okay. So you have to start with that reason, that indication for induction. If it's totally elective and we start an induction, like say we started using some cervical ripening medication and it wasn't working, you can always just stop and go home, sleep, relax. Come back a couple days later, see if your cervix is starting to change. If it's an elective induction, there's no medical reason to do it. We don't have to push it. But if there is a reason that we need to get you delivered, a maternal reason or a fetal reason, then often we'll continue to push. And that's typically where we end up with these long inductions that do have a higher risk of cesarean delivery, often because we start with an unripe cervix that's not quite ready.
Got it. Okay. What are the other, I guess, kind of just to wrap it up, but like, what are the other risks of induction?
Yeah. So failure, like we just talked about, that depends on your cervical status. Once we give you medications, and there are a couple different ways to do it, if we cause too many contractions or if the baby is not tolerating it well, we can cause fetal stress. And we're always watching on the monitor when we are applying an intervention. So if we cause fetal stress and we can't back off on it, we can't stop the induction, then that could end up in a C-section. And then there's a rare risk of infection, especially if we've broken the bag of waters, the risk of infection, the clock kind of starts at that point. So the risk of infection goes up. So I always like to try to get my patient delivered within 24 hours after we break her bag or after her bag breaks on its own.
Got it. So as far as my personal situation, as far as like the expectation that likely at 37 years old, that I should be totally comfortable with being induced at 39 weeks is like, there's no red flags there.
Unless you develop some sort of a pregnancy complication or a blood pressure problem, I don't think you need to worry about it. And I would even say after 37 weeks, which is technically term, that's early term, you can start doing things to kind of bring it on yourself, like having sex, like nipple stimulation. That is a great way. I know it sounds crazy,
I'm not embarrassed. I just love thinking about our listeners right now and nipple stimulation.
Or you can take it to the curb, take it to the street. Oh, that's a new song. I'm writing that song now. That's mine. That's all mine, baby.
That's where Greg goes to distract us from nipple stimulation. But I'm going to bring us back to nipple stimulation.
Have at
it. You can pump, or you can actually, like, your partner can do nipple stimulation. But that causes your body to release oxytocin. And oxytocin is the hormone that you make that causes uterine contractions. You may have heard of Pitocin, which is the medicine that we can give people. That's the man-made version of oxytocin. So if you can make your own oxytocin by, you know, pumping or stimulating your nipples, then you can induce your own labor. Don't do it before 37 weeks, though.
Okay. Yeah, that was the big surprise yesterday, because I had, you know, my maternity plan, my maternity leave, like I was like, this is the week I'm going to leave. And my doctor yesterday was like, well, like, she could come sooner than that. So maybe have a contingency plan that, like, Greg and Jane are taking over sooner than the last week of September. So we will see. But if you have any questions for Dr. Lyerly, we still have one more segment with her. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll take your texts. We'll take your calls. Otherwise, big news with birth control that we'll talk about when we come back. And also another drug for Alzheimer's. So we're going to talk about both of those when we come back for a public cervix announcement on As Goes Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
Thank you. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
4 degrees.
I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach on the board today. And we are talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly because it is that time of the week when we do public cervix announcement. And we actually have a caller having a question. Mark from the SAC, what is your question for the doctor?
Well, it's not really a question, but I really appreciate the discussion here that I had a human sexuality class way back when. This is back in the late 70s when I was in college, and I learned all the lady parts, and that because I figured, if I'm going to be engaged with women, that I should actually know what's going on rather than just being ignorant about it. And I think it would be a far better world if we introduced young women and young men, and at some point in school, with comprehensive sex education, because I think we'd have far fewer issues when it comes to, unwanted pregnancies and people wouldn't be so uptight about stuff. That it just amazes me how we're backsliding here. And I smile every time I hear the public cervix announcement.
That's the goal.
Winners and Republicans, but I really appreciate it. And thanks so much for what you're doing here. And I appreciate you coming on and, trying to educate people because it's something that, unfortunately, Republicans seem to be diseducating people these days.
Well, thanks for the call, Mark. I'm sure that sexuality class served you well in life in more ways than one. I would say, to this day, one of my favorite courses in college was the evolution of human sexuality that took like an evolutionary biology look at all of the things that we do as humans, from marriage to mating to child like rearing and all of the different things, and looked at primates, but also looked at like different kinds of societies, whether it was agriculture or hunting and gathering. It was fascinating. And you can still, I think you can buy the book. It was by Malcolm Potts, and it's called Ever Since Adam and Eve. That was our reader. But Ever Since Adam and Eve, The Evolution of Human Sexuality. Can't recommend it enough. It is fascinating. And I am biased because I did work as like a sex health educator for a little while, so I find this stuff fascinating. I know some people blush, but I think it's very important. So I am very happy that you are here, Dr. Lyerly, every week for us to talk about it in a mature, informative way.
Me too. And, you know, as long as we're giving book recommendations, and Mark, thank you for the call and your thoughtful comments. There is a book called The Guide to Getting It On. And it is like the...
I had that book. I had that book at 17. So this obviously was an interest that started early.
Yeah. It's a great book. And it really, it explains all of the things, all of the questions that you have that you didn't know the answers to. They're in this book, and it really teaches you how to, I mean, most of us at some point in our lives have some sort of sexual contact. Mm-hmm. It teaches you how to do it well and in a healthy way. And man, if everybody had the strength to ask those questions and to, it's just so hard. It's so hard to talk about these things, but the book is a great way to get that information without having to, you know, ask another person. So The Guide to Getting It On, highly recommended.
It's also thicker than any dictionary you own, I promise.
No.
It is a thick, informative, well-researched book.
No comment.
It is like, it's...
And easy to read. And you can just read it in chapters. Like if there's a certain thing you're interested in, like go to the index, read it. It takes like a minute and then you're like, good.
Got it. All right. Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Which of the two new, the drug for Alzheimer's or the over-the-counter birth control that just got approved, which one should we touch on before we got to let you go?
Oh, Kristen, the pill. Let's talk about the pill because this is such a big deal. Yeah. So, you know, birth control pills have been around since 1960. So for a long time, we have been trying to get some sort of a pill over the counter for a very long time. Almost 100 other countries have an over-the-counter pill option. And we, in January or February, somewhere early next year, are going to have one too. It's the oat pill. We talked about this in the past. The oat pill.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that just happened this morning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the notification just came in this morning. This has been a long time coming, and we knew it had unanimous approval from a pre-FDA board a couple months ago. So we've known that this has been on its way, and it is finally here. And it couldn't come at a better time because, you know, now in the post-Dobbs era, although Republicans want to paint all of us as irresponsible people who just get pregnant and use abortions as birth control, those of us who can get pregnant know that that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah,
it's not the truth. So this is the game changer because there are a lot of barriers to receiving, to being able to access contraception. And one is you can't afford healthcare.
Yeah.
So if you can get this over the counter, if it's affordable and available, then people are going to use it. And there is no age restriction on the oat pill. So 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, people younger than 18 are having unprotected sex. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to get this medication too.
Anything else people should? So January is, it's not going to be available this year, but that's looking like January. Anything else people should know if they are thinking that this would be their chosen form of birth control?
Uh-huh. This is not the pill that we typically think of. So when we think of the pill here in the United States, we think of an estrogen progestin combination birth control pill. This is just the progestin. So it's the mini pill. For those of you who have breastfed, you may be familiar with the mini pill. It's a little pickier. It works by thickening cervical mucus and by preventing ovulation. So this does not cause an abortion. It prevents pregnancy. It's a little pickier because you have to take it at the same time every day. So you'll have to set an alarm on your phone or just have, if you have a regular routine, that makes it a lot easier. The risk of failure is a little bit higher than with the combination contraception pill. So again, using a second method is not a bad idea, like a condom for a second method. That also helps to prevent sexually transmitted infections. So that's always strongly recommended. But overall, it is a very effective form of birth control. And we in the OBGYN community, I would have to say, as a community of women, are thrilled
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Daisy was abandoned by her family and placed in foster care at 15 years old. Her life was full of uncertainty. She thought she'd never have a permanent place to call home.
Before I was adopted, I felt like I wasn't enough. I had this hole in my heart, and I never knew what I needed to patch that hole. But when my mom asked to adopt me, that hole was closed. It feels so normal now to say that I'm a part of this family. I am surrounded by love. I feel safe. And that hole inside of me is gone. I am whole. I'm finally enough just as I am.
The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is changing the lives of teenagers at risk of aging out of foster care. Like Daisy, every child deserves a permanent, loving home. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
A severe thunderstorm watch continues until 11 p.m. tonight. Overcast overnight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 67. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Highs level off around 86. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night 61.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 71.
back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are rounding out this Friday with our final guest, who I'm very welcoming back. We had Jacob Resnick, investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, on earlier this year when we were talking about the cryptocurrency mine up in, I am now blanking on which city it was in.
Park Falls.
Yes. But now we have you back because this headline caught my eye this week of your most recent story for Wisconsin Watch with the headline, Wisconsin billionaires quietly bankroll effort to shrink state's social safety net. You don't say. Well, you know what? I think we all knew that the Republican lawmakers have been trying to squash our social safety net. What seems more breaking news from your report is who is trying, is behind that, who is funding it, who would like to see that happen, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country. And so I guess not to, let's get, just not bury the lead. What is the Foundation for Government Accountability and the Opportunity Solutions Project?
Right. Well, FGA is part of the State Policy Network.
Okay.
And there, which is this kind of sprawling, overarching, conservative network of foundations that have a very strong legislative agenda across the country, of course, federally and in state houses, and they have presence in pretty much all 50 states. FGA is one of the Florida affiliates. In Wisconsin, we know like the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, mm-hmm. Badger Institute. These kinds of activist law firms and think tanks are in Wisconsin, but FGA is based in Florida, but they've branched out, and so now they've got lobbyists pretty much in almost every state house. They've got three retained lobbyists in Wisconsin, two of which are in state. They've got staff here, and I think they've got about 115 staff members across the country, and they're bankrolled by tens of millions of dollars from Bradley Foundation in Milwaukee. And also Liz and Dick Uline, who, you know, were also very active in, for example, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And they also get money from other foundations that also fund things like ALEC, who do like the model legislation around the country, mm-hmm. was big as well. And, you know, so that's basically who they are. Opportunity Solutions Network is their lobbying arm because nonprofits, which are 501c3, are very limited on how much direct lobbying they can do. So they have like a branch, which is a 501c4, which is also a black hole for where the funding comes. But they share office space. I've got, you know, the business card from the communications director, who's a former comms guy for the state legislature.
Adam Gibbs.
And he has FGA. But then when he testifies, when he does his lobbying, he says, well, I'm actually a visiting fellow for Opportunity Solutions Network. And this is something that actually it's a problem on across the political spectrum, across the ideological spectrum, and it's not something that the IRS is just not enforcing.
So that was going to be my question, because I do want to get to the intentions behind, you know, some of the bills that this group has been behind. But the secrecy around their funding, how they're allowed to kind of coexist and have a separation, wink wink, between their lobbying division and their nonprofit division. Unfortunately, that is something that is happening also with left groups as well, right? As far as when we think about some of the really big donors and how donor tables and funding kind of happens when it comes to politics, like, it's murky across the board, is my understanding.
Yeah. It is. And there was a Supreme Court case in the last year or so that basically codified the fact that nonprofits don't have to disclose their donors. And, you know, and, you know, environmental groups like Sierra Club, for example, the early policy came, I think, during the civil rights era when a deep South state, I forget which one it was, I think it might have been Alabama, tried to subpoena for the list for the NAACP. And you know, to try to find who the civil rights activists were in their state, you know, and there was like, there's real privacy concerns. So I mean, this is going back and forth about like donor concerns, the rights of, you know, the rights of affiliations and things like that. But that legal argument has now morphed to allow, you know, super mega donors to hide their money in very politically active foundations like FGA.
Yeah. And so with in, you said it in the article and you said it just now, but because you said part of the reason why they, I get my words, getting away with it is because of the underfunding, understaffed nature of the IRS right now. So technically, some of the things they're doing, they shouldn't be doing, because if the IRS was funded and staffed, they would be catching them?
And make it a priority as well.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah. Great. But those 80,000 IRS agents are coming to get you. So good thing we stripped that
yeah,
from happening.
What a relief.
So to back up a little bit, because we in Wisconsin, and I want to get to some of the bills that they've backed and been behind, but because we have Tony Evers, we have split government, they've been less effective here. So in some of the other states where there's not split government, what are some of the other examples where FGA has been behind bills that maybe some of the bills that have made national news?
They were successful in, I think, in Arkansas to loosen child labor protections, for example. There is also in South Dakota as well. It's still in the Missouri House right now. It hasn't gone that far. They've been also very active in election laws in Wisconsin and also in other states about trying to increase voter ID kind of things and different checks. There was an idea of having two different voter rolls here in Wisconsin. One, so if you're taken off the voter roll, you'd be like permanently purged. And so then clerks would, if to bring you back, clerks would actually have to have two rolls. Like, oh, you used to be, and they pushed that idea that was considered problematic by the nonpartisan clerks in Wisconsin. They're also very against Medicare expansion. Medicaid expansion. One of the initiatives that they pushed against was automatic re-enrolling in Medicaid, so that if you're eligible for Medicaid, you have to proactively like go to your state government website. Anyone's ever had to try to access benefits in Wisconsin or other states, it's usually not that simple. And so the argument goes, people who are already have enough problems and are living on the crack, that might not have the means or the education or the time or the wherewithal to do that kind of thing. So they'll just fall for the wayside. I mean, they're very ideologically driven that the state social net is holding people back. And this argument that having unemployment insurance keeps people on the couch. That was an argument that was put forward a lot during the pandemic when there was extra federal, the PUA came through and there was extra money and it was also extended. Although, after the smoke cleared, I was just looking back at the research and found that the worker disincentive kind of scare stories was not borne out in the data. PUA did not keep people from returning to the workplace because there were
some
states
that actually. Can you say that again? Because I feel like it's worth repeating. What did the data say?
That the expanded unemployment insurance benefits were not keeping people out of the workplace. It was other factors, and there were some states that actually. Said no to the extra federal pandemic money. And this is what the studies were looking. They looked at the states that said no for the money and the states that kept the money, and they didn't find much difference in their employment rates. So FGA has been pushing this for a long time. As you said earlier, there was a raft of bills, UI overhauls that Tony Evers, the governor, vetoed last session. And FGA's urging Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin have brought many of them back, these same initiatives back, and where they recently passed the legislature, and we'll see what the governor does.
And so you said it before, but just as a reminder, as far as there's certain bills like you said, some of them are voting bills that we see bubble up. Some are Medicaid expansion. Some are unemployment. So there's been different bills at FGA's. Is the correct way to is it that they backed it or that they drafted it? Because like you said, ALEC as an organization is someone who just like writes these state bills and then shops them around. And, like some words get changed. Is that what this group is doing, or is it more just, hey, you should look at this?
No. That's interesting because I looked for that like model legislation. There is one bill that hasn't advanced very far in this session that would rename the unemployment insurance to reemployment assistance. And that's something that Florida did like in 2012. I found South Dakota also did in like a few years later. So that, it's the same idea that But I didn't see any evidence of other like cut paste kinds of things. And when I talked to Republican lawmakers, they said, no, that we can't really, we, you know, that usually doesn't work out very well because the one size fits all. But what they do do and what they've been very open about is having these kind of legislative conferences and these education meetings. Well, they'll fly lawmakers, almost always Republicans from different state houses to a 2-3 day summit. The last one was in Nashville. Last December, there was one in Florida. And then they'll have them for 2 or 3 days. They give them dinner. They pay for everything. And then they just say, look, and they talk, and they talk. They get them in our room where everyone agrees with each other. And this is our agenda. And you've probably been hearing from your constituents about, you know, can't find employees, can't find workers, this worker shortage. And then they say, well, these are our solutions. And so when I talk to Republican lawmakers, they a lot of them very earnestly feel like they're responding to their constituents' concerns.
Oh, that's interesting.
But you've got groups like FGA that have the spoon, that, you know, they're spoon-fed solutions, which honestly, what we've seen, that, you know, the data and what, when you talk to experts, it doesn't comport.
We're talking to Jacob Resnick, who's an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch, about his newest article, Wisconsin Billionaires Quietly Bankroll Effort to Shrink State's Social Safety Net. And that's interesting what you just said, because I always think it's like all of the data that comes out, because what we're still at 2.4% unemployment, which is record unemployment for Wisconsin. We still have a bigger labor participation rate compared to most states, I think, as far as working age people. So in a lot of actual measurements, people are working in Wisconsin, and the problem becomes more like we need more people. And yet the like adherence to, there's some magical group that is just, if we could just get them back in the workforce, these things would fix. And so you're saying, like, it's actually some of these Republican lawmakers you've talked to have said it just doesn't compute, like that they believe that the latter is the truth.
Well, they'll say, my constituents call me and they say, you know, we have all these vacancies on our main streets and we don't have people. And there are real and they'll even say, and we know that there are demographic reasons for this. And you talk to DWD and they say, exactly, it's demographics, where people are aging out, leaving the workforce. Mm-hmm. People are, and then there's also other structural challenges, affordable housing, transportation, childcare, things like that, that keep people out of the workforce. But FGA and groups like those are not interested in any of those kinds of solutions. Their solution is to cut what's left of the social safety net, and to force people back, you know, work or starve, basically, to put it very cut and dry.
Very cut and dry. So I guess we only have a couple minutes left, Jacob, but what kind of triggered you looking into this as far as, in the, you know, as we said, the last thing you were looking at was crypto mines in Park Falls. So what like brought this to your attention and was like, this is worth more people knowing about?
You know, I've been kind of on a labor beat, and I'm always very interested in the unemployment insurance and like, you know, how much of that is a factor for the, you know, workforce challenges in Wisconsin. And I was in Madison when these bills came up, and I sat in the hearings and I was just really kind of impressed and kind of awestruck how quickly they were rushed through and how this organization that I had never heard of, mm-hmm, had so much clout and pull and had almost backslapping, like, well, who are these guys? And I didn't know at the time, honestly, in the hearing, but a lot of the leadership and people in the bills, though, the week before, they'd been there, the lawmakers had been their guests in Nashville, Tennessee for like a 2-3 day, I think it was a 2-day or 3-day summit. What other lawmakers? So they had been well briefed and they already knew what they were going to do. And so when it came down to actually have the hearing, there was very little discussion except from minority party. And so I was like, how has this happened? That's what led me to look into FGA, who these people are and how they operate.
Well, super interesting. Thank you so much for writing the article. Thank you for so much for joining us today. Jacob Resnick is an investigative reporter for Wisconsin Watch. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kristen. Bye.
All right. We'll be back after the break.
Na 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 Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. For Monroe, Juneau, and Adams counties, call Josh at 608-322-2190. For Jackson County, call Rhett at 715-771-3535. For Clark, Marathon, Wood, and Portage counties, call Ashley at 920-501-8717. And for Wisher and Wapaka counties, call Kate at 920-401-5470.
Dynamite! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And it is that time of the week that we are going to play Three Headlines and a Lie. This is where we have four headlines. Three of them are real. One is faker than, expected prep time for a recipe. But Jane then goes and tries to pick which one she thinks is the lie. And you're getting better at this.
Well, the last couple of weeks have been a little rocky. I wouldn't be too complimentary. But we'll see how I do today.
But as always, you are welcome to play along at home. And like I said, at 11:20, we are going to play a game that you can call in and play to win Wisconsin State Fair tickets. We have 25 to give away between now and next week when the State Fair kicks off. And so if you would like some free tickets today, you can win at 11:20. But we will be playing this game every day until Thursday. All right, Jane, headline number one.
Okay.
Harrison Ford's stunt double set himself on fire at Atlanta actors rally.
Wow.
Bold.
Is he okay?
I don't know if it's real.
Okay.
All right, number two. Change your first name to Subway and you could win free subs for life.
Subway Matinere?
Subway Matinere. Not bad.
Okay.
Number three, Massachusetts store apologizes to Barbie fans for raising beet prices.
Beet prices?
Beet. Very good with goat cheese.
How is that related to Barbie?
No idea.
Wow, it's a tough one this week. Okay.
Number four, Microsoft has created a pizza-scented Xbox controller.
Come on, these are all made up.
They are not all made up. Three of them are, in fact, real. So I will go through them again.
All right.
Number one, Harrison Ford's stunt double set himself on fire at Atlanta Actors Rally. Number two, change your name to Subway and you could win free subs for life. Number three, Massachusetts store apologizes to Barbie fans for raising beet prices. Number four, Microsoft has created a pizza-scented Xbox controller.
Okay, they're all so stupid. But I just think that if Harrison Ford's stunt double set himself on fire, I think that would have crossed my newsfeed somewhere. So that's the lie.
Well, you're clearly not reading Huffington Post enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Harrison Ford's stunt double did indeed set himself on fire at Atlanta Actors Rally. Mike Massa roasted the AMPTP online afterwards, saying he was sick of being burned by studios and producers.
So was he wearing a flame-proof suit?
Let's see. Dozens of workers gathered to support their union, which is currently on strike. Massa, stunt coordinator, and Harrison Ford's stunt double on Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny closed the demonstration by taking the stage in a flame-licked coat.
Okay.
While holding up a strike sign.
All right.
The professional risk taker ensured the spectacle was safe with special protective materials and a fire crew on site.
All right. All right. So what's left?
All right. So what's left? You got to choose between change your name to your first name to Subway, and you could win free subs for life. Massachusetts store apologizes to Barbie fans for raising beet prices, and Microsoft has created a pizza-scented Xbox controller.
Oh, this is just a complete stab in the dark. I'm going with the Barbies and beets because I don't understand that correlation at all.
I also don't understand the correlation, and that indeed is the fake one.
Yay! Woot!
Good job, Jade. But I don't. Barbies and Beats. I don't know what the, maybe it's, I haven't seen the movie. I'm seeing the movie on Saturday. So
is there a connection to the movie and beet farming?
I don't know that. All I can think of when I think of beet farming is Dwight Schrute. So, I don't know, but after I see the movie, I will come back. And if there's any beet
references,
okay. I will let you know.
Excellent.
But yeah, if you are interested in free subs for life, now that they have those meat slicers, it's not, you know, there's the supposedly better. If you don't like your first name or you just love Subway, now is the time to change it. Subway will reward one person that legally changes their name to Subway with free sandwiches for life between August 1st and August 4th. So you only have 3 days to do this. One person will be randomly selected to receive a check or prepaid card for $750 to reimburse costs associated with name change.
Okay.
And 50,000 worth of Subway gift cards that you may be used to buy Subway food for the rest of the winner's life. Is that enough?
Well, not if you're going to eat once a day on Subway. Wouldn't you do?
I wonder if you can come back and be like, I used all of it, man. Like, you said life.
I'm
like,
still what, alive.
Like, I'm still here and I want more subs.
Actually, maybe if you have that many subs on a regular basis, you're not going to live that long.
Fair. All right. And then finally, yes, gamers everywhere. I guess they were looking for scratch and sniff controllers because Microsoft has created a pizza-scented Xbox controller. It's part of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles marketing campaign.
I figured it was just one way to remind your teenager that they need to eat food.
Put
the controller down and actually, doesn't the pizza smell good? Go get some real pizza.
Yeah. It's the world's first ever pizza-scented controller. Oh. And I guess there's a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie coming. I did not know that.
Well, the clamoring has just been so,
you know,
so loud. They had to.
The last one did so well.
Well, yes.
So there you go. Well, you were pretty good. That was a pretty hard one.
It was better than last week's.
All right. Well, tomorrow you get another chance to play another headline quiz. We are actually going to have Maggie Dawn on the show tomorrow for our civic media crossover. So we will ask her what she thinks the best, the worst, and the weirdest headlines are from the week. Talk to her about her show's going, which you can listen to Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network. And then we will see how she does in our other headline quiz that we do on Fridays. But coming up in the next hour, there is no public service announcement today because Kristen Lierley is traveling. But we have some other reproductive health headlines for you that is going to be pretty infuriating and a little sad, but then we'll move on pretty quickly and have J.R. Radcliffe give us a sports update So stick around. We have a packed filled hour coming up next. This is As Goes Wisconsin. So I'll settle for
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.